Welcome to the Sportscast, November 15th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all of our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. It will help out, us out tremendously. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. End of the season, college football. Most teams have two more games left. The Oregon Ducks lost against Utah, which Utah is ranked. They lost against them 32-25. And to talk about it, or maybe to conclude, well, no, we won't conclude about Oregon Duck football yet, but to help us talk us a little bit about what's going on in college football and in sports, we got Ty Turner. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. Just came back
from... Let me ask you a question. What do you mean to conclude about the Oregon Ducks? When you were going to say that, what were you thinking?
Well, I was going to say conclude, you know, like this season, but I prefer wait until after the championship games. Or the bowl games, I mean.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, they still have two games left, so
yeah,
can't really conclude it yet.
We got to do it. You know, it's funny. Like, I was in New York this past weekend, and I saw a lot of Michigan fans. I have no idea if they're visiting or they live there. But like, there was one guy
that
wearing
is weird.
Yeah, it was one guy wearing like a Jets jacket, but then it, like he had had a Michigan scarf on. So I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know what to think. I have to go again and see what happens. But anyways, Utah's the real deal. What happened there?
Well, a couple things. First off. Once again, the Oregon Ducks have proven over the last two seasons, I mean, you could say three seasons, actually, they have not been good whatsoever on the road. They're 1-3 this year. Last year, they were 1-5, including a neutral, you could say, the road game, too, so a neutral field. And then the year before, offhand, I can't remember the record, but I think they were something like 1-, I'm gonna take a little guesstimation off him. I think it was like 1-4. So over the last three seasons, they have been 3-, doing math off the top of my head, I'm just kind of winging and stuff here. On a neutral field or a road game, I believe they've been 3-14. Well, that's terrible. That's awful. That's deplorable. That's disgusting. I mean, I don't know what adjective can best describe how that is over the last couple of years. But and you just saw it again. You know, very one thing for a team to be successful on the road, they have to start fast. They can't get behind. Usually the success rate of teams that get behind is not very good. They can't make mistakes, can't be turning the ball over, can't have penalties, and you have to play good defense. And Utah came into the game. They lost their starting quarterback, Tyler Huntley, the week before against Arizona State with a collarbone. He broke his collarbone. And they also, during the week, lost Zach Moss, their starting running back, who actually I think was the leading rusher in the Pac-12 and is considered an NFL prospect. He got injured. So they were playing with backup quarterback and backup running back, and they had 500 yards of total offense on Oregon. The problem with Oregon right now, I'm touch on a few things. There's definitely, within the Oregon media, because I follow, obviously, I'm a member of a couple of the message boards, and I also follow a lot of the media members. There's kind of some narratives going on, kind of like everything else. Some people believe it's a talent issue, and I do kind of agree. Like I said, the last podcast I touched on, you know, you had three different coaches. The first coach, Mark Helfrich, that got fired, was not a very good recruiter, so he had some pretty average recruiting classes, especially coming off of the success they did. He really did not buoy off that success and bring in a bunch of great talent. They were like kind of, you know, that lower top 25 talent range, which shouldn't be happening if you're coming off of a national title appearance. So you had that. You also had a massive transfers. Transfers either because they were kicked out because of indiscretions. They transferred because things weren't going well and they decided to leave. And which is kind of to be expected, especially since you had three different head coaches in 3 years. And then they also had some medical retirements for several players. So between that, they really depth was hurt. The coaching changes did not fill up the classes quite as well as they should have or could have. And so when injuries started happening, the problem has been is the backup guys are just significantly a step down. So, for instance, you have guys get injured for Alabama, when you have guys get injured for Georgia, when you have guys get injured for Clemson, the backups are very good. Those backups would start for most teams. I mean, they're pulling in top five. In Alabama's case, they've had the number one class 6 out of the last 7 years. When that starting linebacker gets hurt, that backup linebacker was a 5-star, really talented kid. And I know your boy Justin always comes on. He's like, oh, we have some serious injuries and we're not going to be able to play. The guy they're putting in is an elite talent.
Yeah.
And no one, and I think it's been proven over the last decade, you're like, oh, 5-star doesn't mean anything. That's what people always say. 5-star doesn't mean anything. And I just thought that's a false narrative. Because if you really follow it and you follow the success rate of the recruiting rankings, why has Alabama won 5 national titles over the last decade? If those recruiting rankings don't have accuracy to it, then why have they won 5 times? Why has Clemson, who's consistently been in the top 5, top 10 recruiting rankings, been to 3 straight playoffs, won a national title, and probably going to their 4th? Why has Oklahoma won 3 Big 12 titles in a row when they have recruited the best in the Pac-12? So if someone can argue and prove to me that those recruiting rankings don't make sense, go ahead. But I'm telling you right now, the teams that recruit the best, the teams that get the best talent, are the ones who are being successful. They're the ones playing for national titles. They're the ones winning division and conference titles. They're the ones making the college football playoffs. Go look at the rankings. Go look at the results in the field, and there's really no denying it. There's some teams that get less out of more, for instance, like Washington State this year, or maybe like a West Virginia this year. But for the most part, the teams that make the college football playoffs, the teams that win the conference titles, are the teams with the most talent. So I kind of diverged a little bit from my
initial
point.
Great.
Is
this is great.
Oregon was not recruiting on that level. To go with that, even the talent that they did get, they lost a high percentage of those guys. So then the backups were guys even less talented, guys that would not be top 25 talent. And that is really shown, I think, for the most part, and I would really sit on that more so than anything. The media is really tearing apart the offensive coordinator, Marcus Arroyo, because they say his play calling is predictable. His play calling is vanilla. Vanilla meaning, if you know what the term means when it comes to football acumen, it means very predictable. Like you can be sitting on your couch and know what's coming. And do I think that's kind of true? Yeah, I do. It is. I do slightly. I think that they're definitely calling plays currently that doesn't necessarily fit the talent. And I think good coaches, the best coaches, are always able to adapt. The best coaches, if you are struggling with injuries, if you're struggling beating them man-to-man on the offensive and defensive line, you have to figure out something else in order to be able to compete. If you're on defense, you have to figure out different blitz schemes. You have to put in different packages. You have to constantly become unpredictable in order to make up for the lack of talent. On offense, you know, when you're lacking the talent up front, you got to do more pulling, more cutting. You got to go off tackle. You got to play to your strengths. You got to do more quick passes. You can't sit back there and just have a quarterback rely on the quarterback take 5 seconds to find the open man. So you just have to. You just can't rely on, well, this is what I do. I run off the guard, off the tackle, zone read, blep blep. I do 5-step drop, take 5 seconds, throw it to the open man on a 25-yard out route. You just can't sit on that if you don't have the talent. What I do think right now is they're still trying to put a square peg into a hole. They don't have the talent on the line at the running back and even at skill positions at like wide receiver, and they're still kind of playing like they do, and it's not being very successful. And that is where I'm kind of questioning the overall coaching acumen of like a Marcus Arroyo. But there is a talent issue. So do you have one? So within the media and within the circles of the insiders or analysts or experts, whatever you want to call them, one side is like, man, the coaches just aren't very good coaches. The other one is like, man, we just don't have very good talent. And I think the not very good talent can be proven. The not very good coaches, I think, is still a little bit unproven. But I am seeing a couple red flags, their inability to adjust. And why I even see it as red flags, if your goal, I think every coach's goal is to win a national title. Every coach's goal is to be consistently winning conference title and making college football playoffs. Well, if you're not able to make adjustments with the talent that you have in the conference level, how are you really ever going to compete for a national title against the likes of Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, when you're never going to out-talent them? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You're never going to out-talent them.
You know,
Yeah. Go ahead.
Speaking like along those lines, you know, which teams are doing well in recruitment? What trends have you seen? Have you seen that Alabama still has a good recruiting department? Like, who, you know, which teams are you seeing like a very strong recruits? Or, scouting.
Recruiting, well, if you go by the rankings, there's three different rankings for recruiting. It's Rivals.com, ESPN, and I'd say the best one is 247, the most expansive. It also does the 247 composite, which takes a composite of all three of the recruiting services. For instance, this year currently, and the season's not over for recruiting, there's a first signing day in the middle of December, and there's a second signing day in the beginning of February. Currently, Alabama's number one per 247. Texas A&M's number two. Georgia's number three. Oregon's number four. LSU's number five. Clemson six. Texas seven. Oklahoma eight. Michigan nine. And Florida State 10. So that's the top 10 right now per the 247 recruiting rankings. So that kind of gives you an idea who's doing best with pulling in the top rated talent. And Oregon right now is four.
So, yeah, that's not bad.
And remember, it's very good, actually. Now, can they keep the class together? Will kids decommit and end up signing somewhere else? That's one thing. I know they have a couple guys that are kind of on the fence because this year hasn't gone very well, and that's the problem. You can't go lay an egg in recruiting because kids will all of a sudden say, well, I don't think this team's going to be that good. But it is the first season of Mario Cristobal. We have to give it some time. But I tell you what, if he brings in, I'm just going to go hypothetical here. Let's say Oregon finishes like seven. I think that's where they're going to finish. I think they're going to drop a little. And I think some of the teams behind them, like Ohio State, a Texas, a Clemson, is going to get some higher rated guys. So I'm going to say Oregon finishes like seven. Seven will more than likely be the top class in the Pac-12, okay? And then last year, they were 13th, which is the number two class in the Pac-12. And the year before, they were 19th, which is the number three class in the Pac-12. So you have a top 10 class, top 15 class, and a top 20 class. If next year you see a 6-6 record, I think there definitely has to be a movement with the staff. Meaning, you probably have the first or second most talented roster in your conference, yet you're finishing in the middle. That can't happen. It just can't happen. If you have the most talent, you should be finishing no worse than the top three. Because talent wins games. Therefore, if you have the talent, why aren't they winning games? Like USC currently is number one for talent. They're actually top five for the 247 team talent composite in all of college football. Well, Clay Helton has a 5-5 record and is towards the bottom of the Pac-12. What does that mean? He's probably going to get fired. Because you can't have the most talented roster and be finishing at the bottom. That's a fireable offense. I mean, if you have the least talent in the conference, like Oregon State, and they're finishing last, that's part of the course. But currently, Washington State, per the 247 team talent composite, has the second worst talent in the Pac-12, but it's the first rated team in the Pac-12. What is that? Well, Mike Leach deserves a pay raise. Mike Leach maybe deserves to get a better job. Mike Leach should maybe get the job at USC. You know what I'm saying? So you look at what is people doing with their talent, and if people are having results that far exceed their talent, then you definitely have to keep a watchful eye on that. And vice versa, if people are getting results that they're having, like Willie Taggart, for instance, it's his first year at Florida State. Florida State is one of the most talented rosters in college football. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. I mean, playoffs. They're not making the playoffs. They're probably not going to make a bowl game. They haven't even been competitive against Clemson. They haven't been competitive against Notre Dame. Willie Taggart has one more year like that, and he's gone. He gets one more year to turn this ship, and he's fired. And it's you know what? I agree. If you're playing with the best talent and you're finishing 5-7, 6-6, 7-5, you're gone. It's pretty plain and simple. You're gone. You have the talent there. You're not able to utilize that talent. Bye.
You think the coaching life in a school is shorter than it was before?
Yeah, it does seem like it, just because, for one, there's a very, very big emphasis on recruiting. There's a huge fall in recruiting. You should see all the fans that follow this recruiting. So people are seeing who you're bringing in. They see these players that, you know, are 4 or 5 stars that are playing at all the big, you know, like the opening event in Texas, or the U.S. Army All-American game, which is also in Texas, or the Under Armour game. So they're seeing these elite talent you're bringing in. And if they're seeing that you're going 6-6, the fans start clamoring, and at the end of the day, if fans aren't involved, if fans start losing interest, the department starts losing money, it starts to be a trickle-down effect, and ultimately the program can be set back several years. So I think how it should go is, if you're at a place with less talent, you should be giving more time to be successful. I've told you I wanted to talk about this. My childhood team was Nebraska. Remember, if you remember the 90s, Nebraska had one of the most successful programs in college football.
I remember.
They won 3 national titles in 4 years. But over the last 20 years, Nebraska has completely faded from the hierarchy of college football.
Why is that?
Whereas in the last several years, number one, Nebraska, there's not a lot of talent in Nebraska. Nebraska, I mean, is probably, it's a small state. It's very average when you get from a talent perspective. So for Nebraska to be good, they have to be able to recruit the fertile grounds of California, the fertile grounds of Texas, Florida, you know, out east, maybe in Ohio and New Jersey. That's how they are successful. Well, when you're not winning, people don't want to go to a Lincoln, Nebraska in the middle of nowhere to play football. Like, if you're not winning, a Florida kid will just go to Miami or Florida or Alabama. A Texas kid will go to Texas A&M, Texas. A California kid will go to USC, UCLA. So therefore, and for Nebraska to be successful in recruiting, they have to be winning. The problem is they haven't been winning. And despite the history they have, that only holds so much weight. So they went and they hired Scott Frost. Remember, he was a former quarterback. He was actually he was a quarterback of one of the winners of the national title game. You know, he went on to play in the NFL as a safety, and then he ended up, you know, GA'ing at Kent State, and then he went to Oregon, where he was the wide receivers coach, and then he was the offensive coordinator, and then he went to UCF and had the crazy turnaround. The reason why UCF is even good this year is because he turned them around from 0-12 to 2 years later, they were 12-0, and, you know, obviously they claimed they won the national title. Well, Scott Frost turned that program around, and look where they are now. You got the talent in there, and they're back to being undefeated again. I think they've won, I don't know, what is it, 21 straight games? He got the job in Nebraska. He went back to his alma mater. Have they been good this year? No, they were 0-6. But they've won 3 of the last 4. They're starting to turn around. He was able, in a short time last year after getting hired, was able to secure a top 25 recruiting class. Right now, they're sitting in about a top 20 recruiting class. but he should be given time. Let's say, for instance, he finishes 4-8 this year. And then next year, you know, he has a little more talent. He finishes 6-6. You don't think about firing Scott Frost. He gets like 5 years. He gets 5 years. Now, in 5 years, after 5 years of the program, if he's still meddling at 4-8, 5-7, 6-6, then I'd be like, okay, maybe he is not that great. I don't think that's going to happen because he's in the Big Ten West. As long as he's able to out-recruit the rest of his division in particular, you know, I think he can be competing for conference titles. But I think you legitimately give him 5 years. I would not say the same for Mario Cristobal, because Mario Cristobal, Oregon's getting more talent than Nebraska. Oregon's been more successful recently. And therefore, if, let's say, I don't know, Oregon finishes 7-6 this year, and they finish 7-6 next year, by the third year, if they're not significantly better, Mario Cristobal's gone. Whereas with Nebraska, just as long as they're not 3-9 3 years in a row, if they're 5-7 and 7-5, and then like let's say 8-4, you stay with Scott Frost and realize it's just getting better. So do you understand what I'm saying? If it's a program that gets more talent, I don't think you should get a lot of leeway. You get 2-3 years, and if you're not good, you're gone. But if it's a place that gets less talent, I think you really have to give a coach time to develop the program. And as long as the athletic director can look at the program and say, you know what, we're better. We were 4-8. Now we're 5-7. Now we're 7-5. We're recruiting classes. We're ranked 40. Now it's 25. Now it's 20. That's better. You have to give people time. And so from that perspective, I do feel like sometimes people are so impatient that they're like, oh, why didn't he turn this 3-8, 9 school that had people recruiting classes outside the top 50? Why hasn't he turned them around to winning conference titles within 3 years? It's like, that's not even realistic.
Well,
but if it's a school that's getting top 20 classes and the guy's getting 3-9, 4-8, 5-7 classes, 5-7, while consistently getting top 20 classes, after 2-3 years, you're like, can the guy coach? Can he develop talent? Because why is he getting this much talent and giving such horrible results? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I do think they need to have more patience. I think they do need more patience with some programs that don't get as much talent. But no, the programs that get talent, if you don't win, you're gone. Because if you're going to those programs, they're more than likely the blue bloods or the elite programs. And you know what? You're getting paid a lot of money. And if you're getting paid a lot of money and you're not winning, well, you know what? Get someone else in there to make that money.
Tyler That's Turner. Right.
What?
You should coach.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's a long – I thought about it, actually. My uncle's a coach in Texas, so.
You might have the connection to do so.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're almost towards the end of our show. Are you ready for some predictions?
Really? Not talk about anything else?
I mean, I thought you had to leave at 9:30, your time.
No. I have to be somewhere at 10.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Okay, let's review couple games from this past weekend. Ohio State defeated Michigan State 26-6. What are your thoughts on that game?
I saw a little bit of it, and I can only comment as much as I saw. Ohio State's playing some pretty good defense right now. Well, at least in that game, I shouldn't say right now. I think Michigan State was playing with a backup quarterback, though. You know, Ohio State's a sitting giant. You just have to – they have some of the best talent in college football, and Urban Meyer hasn't forgot how to coach. He doesn't really seem – his head doesn't seem completely into it with all the crap that's gone down at Ohio State. But at the end of the day, they have so much talent that you just can't write them off. And, they, you know, they only have one loss, and they're probably going to go into the Michigan game with one loss. It's at Ohio State. You can't write Ohio State off. If they win out and win the Big 12-10 title, Gabrielle, can you please get out of here and watch something? Sorry, my daughter's bugging me while I'm.
It's okay.
But if they win out and they finish in 12-1, I would have a hard time leaving Ohio State out of the playoff. And even more so than that, Ohio State is the one team. I don't like Ohio State. I don't like Ohio State at all. I don't, especially what went down with Urban Meyer, and I don't like him. But at the end of the day, if you want a competitive college football playoff, you play the best teams, correct? I do want really the four best teams. I want where the playoff games are competitive. I think Ohio State, and we'll see how they finish the year, but as long as they finish the year, you know, winning over Michigan and winning the Big Ten title over like the Northwestern, and they finish 12-1, I would consider them a more competitive option than almost any other option out there. Meaning they at least have the talent on the offensive and defensive side of the ball to give Alabama a good game and give Clemson a good game. So that's where I am with Ohio State.
And speaking about Clemson, they defeated Boston College 27-7. It was not much of a game there. What are your thoughts?
Once again, you know, I only saw parts of that game. I do know that Boston College lost their starting quarterback early. Playing one of the better defenses in college football with a backup quarterback is never ideal. It's actually awful. So, you know, the results kind of spoke for themselves. It's not surprising that that's what it ended up being.
I am receiving news from Riley. He's hearing that Jalen Hurts might not be playing at all for the rest of the season. What are your thoughts?
His ankle sprains too bad or what?
I don't know specifically. I mean, I still don't know what the injury was initially.
I believe that he had an ankle sprain or was it a knee injury?
I haven't heard knee injury. Knee's a strong one, but I gotta find. I'll find out. But
might have been meniscus injury. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm good. Glad. I don't want Alabama to win. No, I don't want a kid to be. I'm just kidding. I don't want a kid to be hurt, but I don't want Alabama to win a national title. No offense to your boy Justin, but I think me and about 90% of America want Alabama to get their butts kicked. So, I don't want any injuries to kids, and I never wish that upon anyone. They work so hard, but I don't want Alabama to win. So I probably shouldn't divulge into this question very far because
yeah, I know.
That's all I'm going to say.
We could be seeing Mac Jones starting this weekend.
Do you want to take a break for a while? You know, I heard a little bit of the podcast with Justin because I made that prediction and I was right. You know, I said it on this podcast. Really, he's worried about – did he say he's worried about Mac Jones against Citadel? Or did I miss – I might have not heard him right.
Can you repeat that?
Did he say that or not?
What did he say again?
Did he say he was worried about Mac Jones playing against the Citadel?
No, I don't think he was that worried. No, I think he felt confident that, you know, if he played, he'll be okay with him playing. He prefers him playing three quarters and then two outplays like a first quarter thing or something.
Well, I think sit Tua. Tua is not doing well. Sit him against the Citadel. They could win with Nick Saban playing quarterback against the Citadel. They could win with Jim Carrey playing quarterback against Citadel. They can't match up on any level with him. So just play whoever. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah, I agree.
Waddle back there and just him run around.
Citadel's a very small school.
I mean, yeah, but then against Auburn, you will need. Against Auburn, I mean, Auburn's definitely not great right now, but they will need against Auburn Tua. But I think they'll be fine. I think they're going to win out. Tua does need to be healthy against Georgia. I mean, Georgia's playing pretty good ball, and Georgia has a lot of talent. So they definitely need Tua in that game. And if Tua got injured against Georgia, say hypothetically, first quarter, Tua gets tackled and he hurts his knee, and Mac Jones is throwing in against Georgia, yeah, Georgia could beat him, sure. I mean, unquestionably. Do I think Alabama could still win with the – yeah, I do. But, yeah, I think the field – I think Alabama wins it all. It's my personal prediction. If Tua gets hurt – yeah, because Jones doesn't have a lot of reps, you do have so much talent, but the quarterback still has to be able to execute. I think it would be a little bit of a problem. I think they'd definitely have some issues beating, like, Georgia. I think they'd have some issues in the college football playoff against Ohio State or Notre Dame, you know. I mean, they definitely need Tua. And if Jalen Hurts really is not able to go again, yeah, because Hurts is definitely – they can beat pretty much anyone for sure with Hurts. because they have, they were 26-1 with him, or 26-2 or something. I think they only lost the national title the 1 year, and I think they lost to Auburn last year. So Jalen Hurts is a very successful starter. They can still win the national title with Jalen Hurts. But with the freshman quarterback that had very little playing time, I probably would, yeah, let's say hypothetically, Jalen Hurts is out for the season to Talavaloga. I said it right.
Yes.
Talavaloga. let's say he's out for the season. With Mac Jones, no, I probably wouldn't pick Alabama. Despite all the immense talent, I probably would go with them losing to, like, actually probably Georgia, to be honest with you. I think they do need to. He's not out for the season. Maybe he just sits out a game. I don't know. I guess Jalen Hurts might be out for the season. I don't know.
Well, we'll see what happens. We'll find out more this weekend. I think Citadel is a good way for Mac Jones just to play most of the game and you know, just gain some more experience, just in case he might have to play down the road more. I mean, we'll see what happens. This whole quarterback thing has become a little bit of an issue for Alabama this year since the beginning, but we'll see where things are wrapping up. And what do you think about Butler going to Philadelphia?
For NBA.
NBA.
You just switched completely.
I swung to the NBA.
You didn't say NBA. You didn't even, I'm like, Butler? I'm like, what are you talking about? Dude, someone's drinking on the job. It's fine. I mean, he was not doing very, he was becoming kind of a locker room cancer at Minnesota. So, yeah.
Yeah, should be good. Anyway, sorry
about
that.
Have a good day, Mr. Butler. That's fun.
I thought it was a huge move. I really think Philadelphia is going to be a contender in the East. I mean, they were a contender before he came, but I think it'd be a stronger contender.
He's a little bit of a locker room cancer. I think sometimes you have to look at basketball. It's such a close. There's only 12 guys on the team. If there's someone that, you know, people always think, oh man, they have 7 All-Stars. That's going to make an incredible team. No, it's not. You actually need a little bit of everything. You need role players. You need guys that can play together good. So I don't know. Who's been really that successful when he's on the roster? I know he was a complete cancer here at Minnesota.
Yeah, he was.
And that's why he ultimately didn't work out. And I think there were some issues with him at Chicago. Let's see. You want me to make predictions? No, I don't think he's going to make him better. I don't think Philadelphia is going to even – I think they're going to lose in the playoffs pretty early. So that's my early prediction. I just think he is what he is, and he's just kind of a locker room cancer.
Yeah. He's definitely – I mean, I've heard he is. And anyways, ready for some game predictions.
Yeah, let's go. Let's rock it out. Let's rock it out.
Syracuse at Notre Dame.
You never, ever get where the game's at right.
Oh, my
gosh. It's Notre Dame at Syracuse. Don't blame Google. You're just guess stuff.
I got to go ESPN now.
Holy
That's it.
Crime.
That's it. I'm going to ESPN.
No, it doesn't say it's at Google. No, you read it wrong.
No,
no,
like
you read
the
it wrong.
Last team is the
no,
home team.
No, it doesn't say that.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on. Okay.
Let me go to
Notre
ESPN.
Notre Dame.
Wednesday.
Anyhow.
Saturday.
So it's at Syracuse. I already know that. I actually think I'm going to go Syracuse.
Really?
I think they're playing extremely well. Yeah, they're playing extremely well. I mean, they're playing tremendous. They look really good under Dino Babers. What is that Notre Dame? You are right.
Oh, I told you.
You are right. You're right.
I still got to double check now.
I was thinking it. No, you are. Well, I was looking. I thought the whole time is. Oh, wait, never mind. I was an idiot now. Sorry.
Okay.
Wait a minute. No, it's not. No, it's at New York. No. Hold on. It's at in New York. It's at. Why does it say it's at Notre Dame?
Oh, it's at Yankee Stadium.
No, it's at Yankee Stadium.
Neutral
yeah,
ground.
Neither. Yeah, neutral ground. Remember, Syracuse is in New York, though. Ways up in New York, but
yeah,
but yeah, it's neutral.
But they probably swing more their way.
Wins it.
Syracuse wins in Yankee Stadium. I'm going to see that game. It should be interesting. I've never seen a football game in Yankee Stadium. I have seen a soccer game, but I've not seen one in Yankee Stadium, so we'll see how that pans out.
I think that loss might knock them out of the, I think they might end up losing the playoffs because of the loss.
Will that help out LSU?
No, LSU's not making playoffs. Like, you can just put that to bed. LSU is not going to win the SEC. They're not even going to play in the SEC title. They have two losses. LSU will not make college football playoffs. I'm going to tell you who can make college football playoffs. Notre Dame, even if they lose, still have a chance. Alabama or Clemson, even if they lose one game, still have a chance. Georgia is still in it. Michigan clearly is still in it. And I would say West Virginia, Oklahoma, the winner of the Big 12, the winner, not the loser, the winner, as long, because remember, they play twice. Well, actually, not necessarily. If actually West Virginia beats Oklahoma and Texas wins out, Texas wins the tiebreaker of Oklahoma, and it would be Texas and West Virginia for the Big 12 title. But as long as Oklahoma wins out, plays West Virginia, you know, if they win with one loss, they have a chance. And that's it. That's it. You don't have a lot. And Ohio State. Tell you right now, if Ohio State wins out, finishes 12-1, I think they get into the playoffs. And I think they should, even though I don't like them. But they should. But LSU's not getting in. I mean, for LSU to get in, it would have to be like a complete disaster. They'd have to be a two-loss Big 10-12 champion. They'd have to be a two-loss. Like, basically, so I can't completely rule it out. But it would have to be Ohio State, Michigan would have to, the winner of that game would have to lose to Northwestern in the Big 10 title. The Big 12 champion would have two losses. Washington State would have to lose. If Washington State wins out and wins the Pac-12, because they're a Pac-12 champion and because they have one loss, they will get in over LSU. So LSU would literally need everyone to lose. Could it happen? Yeah. So I shouldn't say that. I should not be emphatic and say that there's no chance. But there's, as long as several schools don't completely implode, LSU is not getting in.
Nothing is impossible. Iowa State at Texas.
Iowa State's playing extremely well right now. Matt Campbell's done a tremendous job. It is at Texas. Texas hasn't been looking great, though. They definitely are not playing that good defensively. You know what? I would say Iowa State.
Iowa State wins in Texas.
Don't rule them out of the Big 12 championship.
Yeah. Cincinnati at UCF.
I think UCF. Cincinnati's a pretty good team. They've only had one loss this year, but I think UCF.
Idaho at Florida.
Why are you asking me that game?
Just a wild card game. Who knows?
Oh, no, it's because of Ryan Christensen, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why.
You know who's going to win that game.
Yeah.
So don't even ask me.
We got a comment from the chat. He said, he's asking, what's your thoughts on West Virginia?
Will Greer's a great college quarterback. He's worthy of being a Heisman finalist. Dana Holgerson's done a wonderful job this year. They're playing very well right now. I don't think they beat Oklahoma. I think they lose to Oklahoma, but then I think they get the tiebreaker over Texas. So I think then they play Oklahoma again in the Big 12 championship. I do wonder, if it's tough to beat team twice, especially with so close. It can happen. But I would not be completely shocked if, let's say, Oklahoma beats West Virginia and then West Virginia goes into the Big 12 and beats Oklahoma. So, I mean, I like them. I don't think they make the playoffs. I do think they lose another game. But he's had a very good season.
Okay. Well, there you go. West Virginia is currently ranked number 9. In the college football playoff rankings, and they got a couple of games ahead of them that they have to complete, and hopefully they can make it up top, but it's going to be a tough uphill battle, but who knows? Anything can happen. Next game, Arizona State at Oregon.
Well, Oregon, you know, they've not been playing very well recently, but as bad as they are on the road, they're equally as strong at home. I mean, equally as strong. Well, yeah. I mean, as bad as they are on the road, they are pretty much the exact opposite at home. They're 11-2 over the last 2 years. They're 5-1 this year. Of course, that meltdown loss to Stanford, which was terrible. I think because of that, I'm going to go with Oregon. They're my team, so I'm going to go with them. And another thing is Arizona State has a lot to play for. Arizona currently is in first place in the Pac-12 South.
Ooh.
So they actually could play for the Pac-12 title as of today. So Arizona State has a lot to play for. Oregon, not as much, but they have to, but the coaches have to remember they cannot, if they completely like melt down here at the end of the year, they could lose that awesome recruiting class they have. Cause kids are kids. Kids are so easily swayed, easily influenced, and if they see that a team is just completely down, going on a downward cycle and went from 5-1 to like 6-6 or whatever, I would not be shocked if you see multiple decommitments. And then what is a number 3 class falls to like 15, and what Oregon needs more than anything is a talent upgrade, so they can't be losing talent. So that's my prediction right now.
Green Bay.
I think Oregon.
Well, actually, Oregon could be a spoiler, but now you're saying that Arizona State has more weight. They have to win. It should be a good game then.
Yeah, it should be a very good game.
Tonight, Green Bay at Seattle.
Oh, they play tonight?
They do. Yep.
Oh, nice. I got something to watch tonight.
Thursday night football.
Baby, don't you know? I'm going to go Green Bay.
Wow.
Is it at Seattle?
Yes.
What are you saying? Wow. Why are you saying wow?
I forgot what I...
You obviously are picking Seattle.
Oh, yeah. You're picking Seattle. I mean, you're picking Green Bay is tough because, you know, Seattle's a tough place. I know Seattle's a weak team. But,
well, if Green Bay wants even. Any chance of making the playoffs, they have to win a game like this.
Same for Seattle. I heard if one of them loses, they're pretty much out. So,
but it, I mean, this is like I really don't. Well, there's good and bad. If the Green Bay don't make the playoffs this year, Mike McCarthy's fired.
Yeah,
and that's awesome. But the bad news is they don't make playoffs. So, and you're wasting another year of one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the NFL's prime.
Yeah.
So hopefully, they win.
Now that Manning's out, it feels like now it's, okay, it's, you know, Brady versus Rodgers. That's like the new rivalry now.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that. It's tough to say. you know, I guess when you go to quarterback play, you can say it's that. But if you break it down to results in the field,
yeah.
Rodgers looks a little meager currently. But
Monday Night Football, which was going to be played in Mexico City, now it's going to be played in L.A., the Chiefs at the Rams.
Oh, that's a great game.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That's
Monday
awesome.
Night.
That's the two of the best teams in the college football, in the NFL, to go along with the Saints. I'm going to say I've seen them both play. I personally think that I like the Chiefs a little better. I think they're just – I think I prefer Mahomes to Goff. I just think he's a little bit more talented. I think he's a little better quarterback. So I think I'm going to go Chiefs. Yeah, I know it's at the Rams, but the NFL on the road doesn't matter quite as much as college football.
Yeah, especially when you go to L.A. Football, go ahead.
Yeah, the fan base, they aren't that strong.
Oh, it's horrible.
And the Rams are good, and Sean McVay is an amazing coach, and he's done extremely well. But, yeah, I'm going to take the Rams. I'm sorry, the Chiefs.
The Chiefs. Yeah, Chiefs are – I think they're a better team. But, gosh, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a lot of scoring, I think. But we'll see who pulls it out at the end. And, Tyler, how can people reach you about any type of scouting news, any type of football questions? How can people reach you?
Tyler Turner, MPLS.
MPLS. He tweets politics, sports, and you don't talk about food, right?
Nope, but a lot of politics. A lot of politics, folks. Better get ready.
2020's coming. All right, Tyler.
All right.
Thanks for coming on to the Sportscast. I'll see you next week.
Thank you.